You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, it's National Prevent Plagiarism Day. You've never plagiarized, have you?
I'm Tony Corner, as you know, but Mike, did you know it's National Prevent Plagiarism Day? Have you ever plagiarized?
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see the joke there? You see the joke there?
Actually, I sort of see it.
I have been plagiarized. Major American newspapers.
Did you sue
and
people?
And off the air, I will name them.
Huh? Did you sue? Did you sue people?
No, but the next time I saw those people, I gave them that sideways look. Like, I know what you did. I saw what you did.
I'd have helped you.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Big Ben's future, Big Ten basketball, and a big men's final at the Australian Open. But we begin today with the depleted Nets beating the depleted Lakers last night as Kyrie Irving played 34 minutes and got 16 points. So at least LeBron James has the satisfaction of doubling Kyrie in points with 32. The Nets have won 5 in a row, and only once were their big three on the court together. And they are 10-1 against teams with winning records. Wilbon, what, if anything, can we take away from the Nets beating the Lakers?
That they beat another good team, because even without Anthony Davis, the Lakers are still a really good team. They're not a championship team without Anthony Davis, but the Nets, they get out there, and when they feel challenged, when they can look across at you and they see somebody eye to eye that's supposed to be a threat in today's NBA, the Nets win, period. And James Harden leads the way. He figures out what needs to be done that night, usually in the area of passing and setting up teammates. And all of a sudden, we're not talking about the Nets' lack of defense. We're not talking about the Nets' lack of a bench. We're talking about the Nets beating everybody that's put out there in front of them. And, Tony, there's no grand conclusions to draw for the Lakers. Anthony Davis not there. The latest news is that he's going to miss 4 weeks. And so we see what happens when he comes back. He is going to need to be 90% of Anthony Davis, to me, in order for the Lakers to win. But it's a long time to determine that. We can't determine it today. But the Nets, Tony, the Nets are the story in the NBA right now, every night.
So let me go to this game. It wasn't just Anthony Davis that was out for the Lakers. Dennis Schroeder was out as well. That's hard to overcome. That's two starters.
It is.
Kevin Durant did not play for the Nets, but Kevin Durant, to be fair, hasn't played a whole lot lately. He's only played 3 games in the month of February. So this is a game the Nets are supposed to win, and the Nets won the game. I'm not going to take anything more than that. I think it meant more to them than it meant to the Lakers. But I will say this. That 10-1 record against winning teams, that is impressive. Utah, for example, and you want me to get down on my knees and salute all the time because of how good Utah is. Utah against teams with winning records is 10-3, which is real good, but it ain't 10-1. The Lakers are 4-7 against teams
with
winning records.
And
in the playoffs, you only face teams with winning records. I mean, the way the Nets did it last night, when you have Harden and Irving out there, and I think, what did I write down? Just 39 points between them, far less than you would normally expect. What the Nets are doing now is they're hitting open three. Since Harden got there, they're hitting it at 42%, Mike, which is great. And there's a reason for this. One is that Harden distributes the ball, and two is you can't double-team it. Their shooters are too good. If you leave somebody open, they're going to make it. So they are an impressive team, and you're right. They are the story of the NBA so far. Absolutely.
Yeah, and Tony, don't if we're going to praise them, don't leave out Joe Harris, who you talk about guys shooting threes and options you have if you're the Nets.
Yeah.
And so we're going to watch them. There's going to be – Tony, I will say this. Very seldom – do people turn as quickly in their assessment of a team? Because it was legitimate to look at them for a minute and say, I don't know about their depth. Their defense is dreadful. And the defense is getting better slowly. But we've turned. You got to look at them now and think, okay, not only are they the best team in the East, but they could be the best team of all. Let's
move
to the NFL.
Mike, I will say this. It would be, just 1 second. It will be more of a surprise to me if the Lakers make the final than if the Nets make the final right now.
Wow.
More of
a surprise.
Wow. Right now.
Okay.
Yeah. That's now. You know, it's still February. I don't want to get crazy. Yeah.
Still got some games. Let's move to the NFL, and Big Ben Roethlisberger's uncertain future in Pittsburgh. Earlier this week, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert said, quote, "As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers," close quote. Then yesterday, Colbert said the franchise is really excited to see what new pickup Dwayne Haskins can do. Tony, if the Steelers cut Ben Roethlisberger, do you see him being an attractive starting option on another team?
Okay, I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility at all that they cut Ben Roethlisberger because of what the GM has said. It sounds to me and feels to me like they're laying out a carpet for Ben to walk on and walk out of their lives. I'm not sure he would go anywhere else. Now, I understand that he doesn't want to walk away on last season, especially after the 11-0 start turned into 1-5 in the last six games, and he couldn't throw the ball 20 yards down the field. So he probably wants to prove that he can still play, but I don't know that he wants to throw away a year and maybe get embarrassed at some other team, which is what happened to Joe Namath and it's what happened to Johnny Unitas. Like, I don't know about that. He may follow Pouncey right down that road into retirement.
Yeah, my first response hearing this going back a week is to look at serious side eye at Kevin Colbert. It's like, you know, you're just going to just like give the back of your hand to a guy who won a franchise two Super Bowls and got to another one? Really? Kevin Colbert, what the hell do you ever do? And I would say this, Tony, I doubt he's going to have the final decision in a family-run organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers have been for, I don't know, 80 years. So then I hope he doesn't have the last word. I mean, because he seems like just an ingrate, like just he's acting like an ungrateful bum. So there's a way, if you think you're going to get rid of Ben Roethlisberger, there's a way to call him in and say, look, Ben, what do we do here? But that doesn't seem to be how this is going down. So whatever happens to make Kevin Colbert look like a fool, I'm with that and we'll give that a standing ovation. Whether Big Ben goes somewhere else, Tony, I don't know. I mean, I don't know him well enough to know how he feels about the notion of playing all his years in one place and having had this. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have a nice career. He had a great career that, if not for Tom Brady, would be celebrated up there with other great quarterbacks. You know how many more Super Bowls he's won than Aaron Rodgers? Twice as many.
One more.
So
he's won one more.
Twice as
he's
many.
Won one more.
2-1.
Yeah, okay.
One times two.
Two,
as
two to one.
Last I checked. I know
two
you
one.
Had that in grade
yes,
school, too. So
2-1.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger deserves to be saluted in Pittsburgh, not treated like a dog because he's...
That's fine.
Okay,
let's,
he can't throw it
let's
anymore.
Let's look at
he's
where he might
now.
Go.
I get that.
Let's look at where he might go because his career is on the downside at the moment. He's willing to take almost no money to play, but that's in Pittsburgh. What about if he went to New England? Needs a quarterback, but Cam was there, was terrible. Ben may not be any good. Washington is mentioned a lot, but he's no more mobile than Alex Smith, and he wouldn't want to get beaten out by Taylor Heinicke. The place that I thought, well, I want him to go to the Bears because I want you to be able to watch him all the time, but he's really not better than Trubisky necessarily. The place I thought of, Mike, because John Elway has done this before with Peyton Manning, is Denver. That's what I've thought of. Yes.
You know, Tony, I'm not one of those people, and I know you aren't either. We are not guys to say, oh, you need to quit now. Let them tear the jersey off
play
of
as long
you.
As you
play
want.
Until you can't play. Because the day is coming
That's
when
right.
you can't play, even for Brady, and so you play as long as you can play. And if Ben Roethlisberger wants to play good for him, I don't know that any of those places jazzes me, but I'm annoyed, as you can tell, by the notion that Ben Roethlisberger
yep.
could be just pushed out the door by some dude. How many rings he wearing?
I have no idea. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. On Sunday, exactly. we have a college basketball game that might actually be meaningful. Number 3 plays at number 4 Ohio State. Sadly, it's not football, but you take what you can get. It's your conference, Wilbon. It's a marquee game, but is it a significant one?
Tony, it is a significant one because you're dealing with seeding. You're dealing with ones and twos. You got so many Big Ten teams at the top. You're trying to figure out who's going to be one, who's going to be two, and you can't be, like, in the same region. So that sort of kicks one region out. No, it kicks more than one region out. And so that team on the number 2 line, right now that's Illinois, though I think Illinois may be the best team in the Big Ten. I think there's a chance. We'll see that over the final couple of weeks. You know, you become a 2 seed that's got to, you know, be in a bracket with Gonzaga, or I guess Gonzaga, obviously, particularly after last night's win, is going to be a number one seed. So, Tony, it's a seeding thing. I don't care that much about it. I don't get all nuts because somebody says, oh, you know, they're a one seed and they shouldn't be against that. Shut up. You got to play people when you're that high. You get a number two before you can get to the Final Four or in the Final Four anyway. So I don't care about that, but I know the seed fanatics do. And, yes, it's a game of significance.
That is the significance, because if Illinois goes up to the one line and the loser here drops down, the loser cannot be in the same region as Illinois or the right. team that wins. So you're going to end up against Baylor and Gonzaga, and that's more difficult. My inclination is to say that it's not a big deal for a lot of reasons. They're both good teams. They're both going to the NCAA. The tournament committee, when it did that mock bracket, had them both as number one seeds. They probably will play again in the Big Ten tournament, and it's possible that Illinois could beat them both. So that's why, I mean, I don't want to get crazy about this particular game. You know, I'm sure I'll watch it because it's going to be 20 degrees here in Washington, and I'm not going to have anything else to do. But I'll tell you, Mike, I'll tell you how distant I am from this college basketball season and last, which sort of just ended. It just ended one day and nobody knew what happened. I can't name anybody on either of these teams. I could not name the coach at Ohio State this morning. So I had to find out his name is Chris Holtman. And he's been there 4 years and I didn't know that. So, I mean,
it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign for college basketball when two people who both covered college basketball for decades.
And love it.
Right?
And love
it. And watch it and love it. We don't just sort of go, oh, yeah, it's okay. We're fanatics about it.
Yeah.
And it's off the radar, Tony. It's off the radar. The Big Ten off the radar. Wow.
You know.
Sad.
Let's take a break. Coming up, is Carson Wentz actually in a better situation than Matthew Stafford?
And Novak Djokovic has won 8 Australian Opens. But should he be the clear fave to win his 9th on Sunday?
So I knew Juwan Howard was coaching in Michigan. I knew that, but I didn't know this guy at Ohio State. I didn't know him.
I know the name, but
I know your guy.
If he was in my...
I know your guy.
New tonight on SportsCenter. Tony and Mike return for PTI's bonus topic, plus the fallout from the Carson Wentz trade around the NFL, including the impact on the Jets' Sam Darnold, Bill Belichick's plan for the Patriots, and the QB outlook in the NFC East. And the Dodgers' Justin Turner finally breaks his silence after backlash for testing positive and still celebrating the World Series without a mask. SportsCenter.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Someday, I'll ask you a question that will change me forever.
If you fall, I will catch.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, two men leave, having just played toss-up. What's first?
Toss-up. Who should be happier with their offseason, Carson Wentz or Matthew Stafford?
Okay, they both should be happy because they both landed in playoff teams. Carson Wentz should be deliriously happy because he's out of Philadelphia, where they hated him and he hated them, and he's gone to the one coach that made him look really good in the NFL. So that's a good thing for him. But Matthew Stafford should be even happier, because Matthew Stafford is playing on a team that is the best defense in the league, which means they're always going to be in games. And nobody in his right mind who's watched these two quarterbacks actually thinks that Carson Wentz is as good as Matthew Stafford in the NFL, because he isn't. I think by the end of this season, Stafford's going to be great, and people are going to say, where was this guy? And the answer is Detroit, which sucks the life out of all the good players they've ever had.
You're so wrong about this. The Indianapolis Colts are the better of those two teams. Yes, the Colts are the better of those two teams. Colts better than Rams. So therefore, Carson Wentz winds up in a better situation with a coach who is going to help him reclaim his career. And Carson Wentz at least led a team almost kind of to the Super Bowl. Your boy Matthew Stafford has never he led his team to the playoffs three times, never near the Super Bowl. So Wentz winds up in the better situation.
Remember what I'm saying. The Rams will go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't believe
that. Stafford will be great. Next.
Toss up, more likely to get upset this weekend, Naomi Osaka or Novak Djokovic?
I like Osaka to win. She's playing Jen Brady. There's a wide disparity in seedings. Osaka is 3 and Brady is 22. Brady has beaten Osaka once in 2018 on clay.
And she
this is 2021
US Open.
And it's not on clay. There's a fantastic statistic with Naomi Osaka. If she gets to the quarterfinals in a major, she wins. She wins it. She's won 3 that way, and I think she's on her way to 4th, which means I'm going to say that Djokovic is more likely to be upset. Now, there's not a big disparity in seedings there. That's 1 against 4. Medvedev has beaten him 3 of the last 4 times they've played. But, and there's always a but, Djokovic is 17-0 in Australia. He owns Australia. He's got 8 of his 17 majors at the Aussie Open. In the semis and the finals, 17-0. But I'm forced to say it's Djokovic, and I'm fine saying it because I don't find him an attractive player.
You don't like him, you always rip him. Medvedev has to feel pretty good about his chances. He finally won a 5-setter in a slam, just did that. And Medvedev has beaten him. He can look across the net, forget surface for a second, and just say, I can take him. I've done it.
That's right.
So the answer about being upset is Djokovic, even though he does just sort of cruise at the end of the Australian Open in Melbourne. But I think Osaka is going to cruise. Jen Brady has gotten a set off of Osaka in a major. But a set and a match are two different things. Osaka wins. Djokovic,
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Bruce Arians, your boy, explains why repeating could be a whole lot easier than he feared. Really?
And will the Jazz make it 10 straight tonight against the Clippers? And will Tony finally give the Jazz, just put some speck on them?
When was the last NFL team to repeat in the Super Bowl? It's Brady, right? It's 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So Arians thinks
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Kendall Hinton. When this NFL season began, Hinton was a wide receiver on the Denver Broncos practice squad. And then in November, four Bronco quarterbacks were ruled out for the Week 12 game against New Orleans because of coronavirus protocols. The Broncos turned to Hinton, who had played some quarterback at Wake Forest, mostly as a backup to John Wolford, who is now on the Rams. Hinton had only started three games at Wake and switched to wide receiver in his last year, but he had played the position and he was available to Denver, so he got the start. Hinton threw nine passes, completed only one for 13 yards to tight end Noah Fant. Hinton was intercepted twice and sacked once in a 31-3 loss. He was in an impossible situation. After the game, Hinton was sent back to the practice squad and remains in Denver as a wide receiver.
That was a bad look for the NFL. I know they had all their reasons why the Broncos should have to play. I get it. You have protocol. You have blaming a team, you know, if they did things outside of what the protocol allows. It was a bad look for the NFL to have the Denver Broncos play with no real quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not going to dispute that, but they all got 16 games in and they got a real live Super Bowl champion. Not so happy anniversary, John Beilein. On this day last year, the longtime college coach, whose career spanned four decades and 829 victories, resigned as head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers after 54 games, 40 of them losses. There was a sense of relief from Cavs players who didn't like Beilein. J.B. Bickerstaff was named interim coach. He went 5-6 and was hired as permanent head coach after the season. Beilein's name has recently come up in connection with the vacant Boston College job. In college, Beilein was the only active coach to win 20 games at four different coaching levels: junior college, Division III, Division II, Division I. He was one of only six D1 coaches with 700 or more wins. He was one of only 10 college coaches to take four different schools to the NCAA tournament: Canisius, Richmond, West Virginia, Michigan. BC could do a whole lot worse than hiring Beilein.
Yeah, Tony, I didn't like that whole thing. I mean, it just seemed like Beilein was not in a good position to succeed. And that's not that he didn't know basketball. He's not that a terrific coach. He is a terrific coach. That's the point. Colin Sexton, by the way, Tony, just keeps maturing and getting better. Sometimes now, this season, he has some pretty great games.
Happy trails to South Carolina's 31-game SEC winning streak. Number 21, Tennessee, got its first top five win in 4 years by upsetting number 2, South Carolina, 75-67 last night, snapping South Carolina's 31-game SEC win streak. The last time South Carolina lost in conference play was to Arkansas on March 8, 2019. To win this game, the Lady Vols had to make up a 15-point deficit in the third quarter. The larger note here is that Tennessee could be back in the high life again. Many of us remember when Tennessee with Pat Summitt was the gold standard in women's basketball, when they had a 36-game SEC winning streak. It would be nice to see them strong once again.
Tony Wood, Tennessee has certainly had two of my favorite players of all time, Candace Parker and Carol Lawson. And you know what? I think it's good for the sport when Tennessee is good. So it was good, I'm sure, for a lot of people to have that bounce back win over South Carolina.
One huge error. Wilbon, you asked what Kevin Colbert has ever won. How about two Super Bowls? He's been with the Steelers since 2000.
Was he quarterback for either one of them?
They didn't play quarterback. Big finish real quick. Wichita State upset number 6, Houston. Big deal?
Houston, I think, was like 17-3 going into that game. It was a fairly big deal. NCAA tournaments arenas will be allowed up to 25% capacity with physical distancing. Does that make sense?
Number one priority, keep people safe. Kevin Durant is the captain of the Eastern Conference All-Stars, not Giannis. You okay with that vote?
I'm fine with it. The Bucks, man, they are spiraling downward. They've lost 5 straight, their 5th straight last night. Bruce Arians told Colin Cowherd he'd probably quit if he lost Byron Leftwich and had to go back to play calling himself. You surprised to hear that?
No, that's why you have an offensive coordinator. Last one, the Jazz go for 10 in a row against the Clippers. Do you like their chances?
It's hard to beat a team twice in consecutive games on its home floor. I don't know. Streak might be over.
We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.